already on the phone right now is author Brad Thor, which must mean it's time for a new Scott Harvath novel, Choke Point, out on the 16th from the fine folks at the Tree of Books. And Brad, you were just saying you didn't remember. We just talked a couple of months ago for Cold Zero.
I actually mistook my Harvath Universe timeline. I have to remind myself that I had a book in the middle of the year. It's the first year I've ever done two books in a year.
Yeah.
So thank you for correcting me.
That screwed me up, too, when I talked to you earlier this year. I'm like, well, I'm getting Brad twice this year.
Yes. Well, you know what? That's what the readers asked for. They said, I don't write fast enough. And I said, okay, well, I still want to give you that excellent Harvath thrill ride every summer, but maybe there's a way I can build another roller coaster in my amusement park that I can debut in the winter. And so that's kind of the new rhythm for me, is a Harvath thriller in the summer and a co-written espionage international intrigue thriller in the winter.
Oh, so that's the upcoming schedule from now on?
Yeah, it's going to be two books a year from me.
Oh, cool. So is the next, are you doing a Cold Zero sequel?
Not a sequel, completely new universe of characters, but I'm doing it with the same co-author, Ward Larson,
and it'll
be out January or February 2027.
Oh, sweet. And what, I know the last time we talked, you'd already sold the rights to Netflix. Anything new to report on that?
Yeah, so we got all of our deals closed, as they say in Hollywood, so everybody signed their contracts, and now Nick Pizzolatto, our screenwriter who did The Magnificent Seven with Chris Pratt and also created True Detective for HBO, that great first season with Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey, Nick is off writing the screenplay for Cold Zero. So I'm hoping to see it at some point this summer and to look forward to the casting and location scouting. I'm super, super excited about it.
I know the screenplays don't always mirror the book. Do you anticipate the screenplay and the book being pretty similar?
Mark, that is a great question. You know Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yes. And in fact, before we even brought Nick on board, I was introduced to him by the players in Hollywood. And they said, we want you to talk with Nick, see how you guys jive and get his take, as they say, air quotes in Hollywood, about how he would do Cold Zero. And when I asked him, he says, I'm not changing a thing.
Oh, good.
He says, that book is so damn good. I am going to translate it from the book, from the pages of the book right up onto the screen. He said, I'm not taking any liberties with this thing.
And the most important question of all, Brad, has the check cleared?
Oh, the check most definitely cleared. Ward Larson and I were popping champagne.
Okay. The new book, Choke Point, your 25th Scott Harvath novel. Did you ever think you'd get to 25?
I got to tell you, that's a great question. My wife said the same thing. Not that you ever think, but she's like, what does it feel like to be here? And let's take a moment and just drink it in. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Fans have loved Harvath, and I've loved writing him. And it's been, you know, it takes a lot of energy and a lot of creativity to give Harvath brand new, really cool scenarios to drop him in that readers have never seen before, not only from contemporaries, but within the Harvath universe. And, you know, Mark, I always tell people that my books are like the James Bond movies. If you've never read a Brad Thor book, you can go out and start with Choke Point.
Yeah.
It's like, you can go to the latest movie of Bond and you'll get caught up right away. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting to have this be the 25th Harvath and to still be doing them in such a way that they're all accessible no matter which one you choose to pick up.
I have to ask, I could have Googled this, but I didn't. What's a Van Dyke cut?
Oh, a Van Dyke cut. So that's kind of the, you get the mustache. It's like a goatee that's a little bit pointy on the bottom.
Oh,
and you
okay.
get a lot of the stuff off the chin is cut away and you kind of get the longer mustache. So if you think about those Dutch master paintings, the ones that used to be on cigar boxes, or if you went to the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam, that's kind of the Van Dyke beard.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because you mentioned that on one of the characters. And instead of Googling it, I just wrote that as a note to ask you.
Yeah.
You know what else I noticed, Brad? If you and I ever went on a road trip, we would never have an issue. We would never have an issue with music because you always put in the most badass song mentions in your books. I mean, who doesn't like Brandy? You're a fine girl, fine girl. What a good wife you would make. I mean, come on.
Yep. And what's really cool is they're now creating, the musicians have created, and particularly DJs, have created this new subgenre of yacht rock called Yacht House, where they take those classic yacht rock hits and then funk them up and speed them up a little bit, add a drum machine, add a different bit of a bass line and stuff. And so that's a lot of fun to hit that right as it's breaking wide over the internet and stuff. This is going to be the summer of funked up yacht rock tunes. So that was kind of cool to put that in the book.
Brad, you know what one of my favorite channels is on Sirius XM Radio?
What is it?
Channel 15, Yacht Rock Radio.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I do enjoy it. I've got a friend of mine, actress Kim Fields, who has been on the Upshaws on Netflix forever. Kim has been lobbying SiriusXM Radio, and I've been supporting her, that she needs to be like once a week the captain of Yacht Rock. She needs her own show on Sirius because she loves Michael McDonald and all those artists. And hopefully we'll see Kim Fields captaining the Yacht Rock ship, maybe even this summer. That'd be great.
Before we get into the plot of the book, which really, there's not much to mention. Scott Harvath's a badass, and he's killing people, and he's saving World War III. I just did a synopsis for you.
Perfect.
The cover of this book, I don't know who came up with the green dragon over the on the cover. I should get a raise. It is badass.
Well, thank you. We were really trying to find a way to kind of hint at danger and the part of the world where the book was set. Originally, I thought the dragon should be done. The dragon idea was mine, and I said, what if we did it like out of smoke? What if it was a black background with the dragon and smoke, and we played with that and everything? The idea that the dragon represents this elite Chinese intelligence unit that's hard to track down, hard to defeat. And we ended up with this cover, and I was just in London meeting with Simon & Schuster UK, and everybody there was like, oh, they're killing it in your art department in the United States. This dragon cover is so damn cool. And so thank you, Mark. Thanks for the compliment. I agree with you. Our art director, Ginny Iacobelli, just really, really knocked it out of the park. Took my idea and just took it to a whole new level. It wouldn't be as cool as it is without Jimmy. He's awesome.
Choke Point. It's a two-story novel. In Washington, a former Marine, United States Marine, is being hunted, and he has no idea why. He turns to his ex-girlfriend who works in the White House. She can't trust anybody. There's something going on, and they're in a fight for their life. Meanwhile, across the world, in Bangkok, a devastating series of bombings tear through the city. Scott Harvath is sent there with his response team to find out what's going on. And I love the interplay with him and the leader there that he has to report to, morale. That's such a fun, kind of a bromancy back and forth one-upsmanship between the two.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun, the back and forth with those two, and particularly kind of a couple of real seasoned operatives that are just willing to step color outside the lines, if you will. And that's the whole reason Harvath gets sent to Thailand. The whole idea for the book, this happened before the Strait of Hormuz and the U.S. War with Iran. And the idea for Choke Point, the title Choke Point, it's playing out in the news, that title. You turn on cable news and you hear it 10 times an hour. But the idea was, what if China just wanted us to think they were about to invade Taiwan and the real plan was focused someplace else? So this idea that there would be chaos, a lot of people don't know that Thailand has been subjected to coup after coup after coup, the last one being in 2014, where the military steps in and kicks out all the civilian government officials and takes over. And so I had this concept for the book that China wants to do something in Thailand. What if they started fomenting a coup there? And as part of it, a bunch of Americans who were over in Thailand ended up killed. And the United States president said, okay, well, we're going to follow some of the legal tracks here, but I'm also going to send this guy Harvath over to kick over rocks that maybe we're not supposed to be kicking over, because we want to get to the bottom of who killed all these Americans and make them pay for it. So that's that. And then, like you said, back in the United States, I've got a Marine with PTSD who's lost his job at a think tank. They think he's too conspiratorial. And even his engagement with his fiance, who works for the National Security Council, has fallen apart because everybody thinks he's nuts. And it turns out he's smarter than everybody in the White House and the intel agencies combined in D.C. And he's not crazy. The bad guys really are after him because he's figured something out that nobody else in D.C. has been able to see coming. And he's 20 steps ahead of the rest of the world. And it's a fun subplot.
If people want to get a head start on reading, chapter one is up on Amazon on the page for Choke Point. So they can go to Amazon and read chapter one right now.
Absolutely. And that's kind of the nice thing we do is to say, hey, listen, why don't you try it before you buy it? You know, here's a little taste of what you can get into. And it's fun because it really starts with action. And that's one of the hallmarks of my books is it starts with action on page one and it does not let up until the very last page of the book.
I'm trying not to say a spoiler here, but I was really sad about a couple of tech guys. And that's all I'll say because I don't want to spoil anything.
I hear you. Yeah, we got it. There's a few things in there that'll surprise you, that'll take you, you know, completely off guard. So that was just the muse sitting on my shoulder and said, well, what if this happened there, you know? And I, even the people that work with me who read the rough draft of the manuscript, they were yelling at me. They're like, you son of a, you know what? So I was like, okay, well, that was a powerful decision then to go that route.
BradThor.com. Is your publicist, super publicist David Brown, mad at you? He has 6 tour dates in 6 days. That's a lot.
It's a lot, and that's what that first week on sale. So there's 2 things that really matter for an author. It's, are your readers kind enough to pre-order the book, which sends a great signal to the marketplace, sends a great signal to the publisher, and all those pre-orders count as your day one sales. And what they found is that first week is the biggest week you're going to have as an author. It'll impact where you hit on the New York Times list, how many books overall get sold, the kind of overall buzz about a book. So they said, we're going to put the pedal to the metal, and you pack a carry-on bag in your tiny tube of toothpaste, and you zoom from airport to airport. But yeah, no. David's my man. He's the best publicist in the business. And he said, I'll book it if you can handle it. And I said, if you can book it, I can handle it.
Make sure he takes you on a Bucky's World Tour. He did that with Jack Carr. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's about the last. I love Bucky's. But there ain't no way in AC Double Hockey Sticks I want a tour in the backseat of somebody's van like I'm some college fan over the summer. I can't think of anything. I love Dave Brown. I don't love him that much that I want to be on the road with him for a week in some van. No, thank you.
Okay. Hey, last time I talked to you, I asked you if you were going to see the movie The Devil Wears Prada 2, and you said, hell no. Mark Greene said, hell no. Jack Carr said, hell no. So I have to ask you, though, the World Cup is coming up. Do you have any interest in watching that?
You know what? I'm not a big soccer guy. I do like I like sports, but I'm kind of a guy that waits till the very end.
Yeah.
You know, I'll watch some football. Normally, as we're getting close to the Super Bowl and stuff like that, I'll start leaning in and start paying more attention. I don't know how much soccer I'm going to watch. It's going to be an interesting summer, I'll tell you that. I think it's a great chance for us to showcase America. To have it here, and I'm looking forward to what it does to our international prestige, what it does for tourism. You know, Zoom has really hurt a lot of the hospitality industry. We used to have a lot of business travelers that were able to help, you know, offset the price of airfare for the rest of us because they were traveling so much on their big travel budgets and stuff. And COVID and Zoom crushed that. So I'm really hoping that this is a summer that helps those people in restaurants and hotels and all that kind of stuff. So I'm thrilled that it's going to be here, and I'm looking forward to being a real chance for America to put its best foot and face forward.
So where are you in your writing now? Are you working on the next follow-up to Cold Zero right now, or are you working on the next Scott Harbeth novel? Or are you just taking a few weeks off and getting your brain back in gear?
No. So Ward Larson and I are wrapping up our brand new co-written thriller that will come out in 2027, right in the first quarter, sometime after the new year. We haven't picked the release date yet. So working on that, and then I'm slowly beginning to assemble next summer's Harvest. So there's always, you know, I'm always at one stage in the process. If I'm not writing, I'm editing. If I'm not editing, I'm touring. And if I'm not touring, I'm writing the next book.
Can you even remember what happened in the first Scott Harvath novel, or is that just like a distant memory?
Oh, I can remember it. So it's, you know, sometimes there'll be little details because that's the Lions of Lucerne. I wrote that in like 2000. So that's 26 years ago. So I can remember a lot of it. But if you said, you know, what in this scene, what color was Scott Harvath's shoelaces? I have to go look it up.
Hey, before I let you go here, I meant to ask, what's happening with the Scott Harvath rights? Didn't you sell them a few years ago?
Yeah, so those are at Sony Television, and we've got 2 scripts written, and so it's at Sony. So we're excited about that one, too, and it's kind of a joke in our office. what are we going to see first? Are we going to see a Harvath TV show? Or are we going to be sitting in the theater watching the movie? So it's this little horse race here. So it's kind of a great position to be in, having been a writer for so long, and with the Scott Harvath series being around for as long as it has. It's really neat to have everything coming together at the same time.
Brad, you're going to be so overexposed in a couple of years.
Yeah, Park, I'll take it. That is not a thing I'm going to fight against. Gladly accept it.
Instead of two times a year, I'll be talking to you four times a year.
There you go. Yeah, we'll have to talk TV and movie stuff, too. So that's great. Yeah. I'll talk to you every quarter then.
Okay. Hey, Brad, always a pleasure talking to you. Good luck with everything. If I can make it, you're in Dallas actually on a Friday night, which isn't too bad for me. So I'll have to see what's going on. But maybe I can try and swing down to Half Price Books and finally meet you guys. David Brown's been wanting to meet me for years. He's like, you got to come. And I'm like, David, you're like an hour away from me each way.
Well, David won't be traveling with me.
Oh, he won't?
No. I got somebody else from my team that goes with me on these things. So David won't be there, but I'll be there, and I'd love to see you if you can make it, Mark.
All right, Brad. Great talking to you, and we'll look forward to talking to you again first quarter next year.
Sounds great. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.